Welcome to Built to Go, a van life podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Wagg, coming to you from the College of Curiosity. This time it's episode 244, and we're going to talk about surviving uncertainty because, well, folks, welcome to 2025. We are living in the most uncertain of times of our lives. We're also going to talk about how to unfreeze your van when your van freezes. I know some of you down south are experiencing this. Tale from the road involving really bad things and a place to visit that is looks like Antarctica. Yeah, you can drive there. We'll get to that. But hey, thank you for taking some time to listen to me yap at you. I appreciate it. I'm glad you're here. If you are alive and not a total and complete hermit, which is an option for van life, you are aware that basically the world changed just recently in the last couple of days. Yep, and we knew this was coming. And this podcast is not about politics or religion, as I have said repeatedly, and I broke that rule once, but this is not breaking that rule. This is just facing reality that, hey, everything is about to change. A lot of people are really concerned, and some people are actually happy about it. And whichever side of that you fall on, things are uncertain. We aren't really sure how they're going to change. We've seen things said, we've seen things done, sometimes the two don't mesh, but I don't think ever before have we lived in a time that has been more uncertain. And a lot of that uncertainty actually relates directly to van life. There is proposed legislation that will eliminate or even remove large swaths of public lands in the United States. There's legislation coming that's going to make it illegal to sleep in your vehicle on streets, and that is getting federal support in the United States. That would have a huge impact on van life. There is this new energy revolution of however that forms that could possibly lower gas prices quite a bit, or some people are saying it could raise gas prices quite a bit. And, of course, there are the tariffs that are just a threat at this point, but we don't know how that's going to pan out, and they could really impact the cost of van life, especially people building out their vans, because let's face it, folks, a lot of the stuff that we have in our vans is imported, from lumber to batteries to solar panels to electronics to furniture. And if your van's a ProMaster, heck, it's built in Mexico by a Swiss-owned Italian company. So this stuff gets very complex. However, what we need to talk about is how to survive uncertainty. Let's take a look at the uncertainty itself as the problem. What do you do in uncertain times? So I have 10 things for you to think about in these uncertain times and how they relate to van life or just life, because as I've said, life, van life, van is just an adjective on top of life. Everybody's doing life. I hope some of these help you, and hey, I hope they help me too, because I honestly, I'm having a hard time dealing with this changing world. If you follow me on social media, I left social media mostly. But if you have seen any of the social media that I've done, you can see my concern. Rest assured that I get it. I understand that this is a difficult time. So, number one, you do need to stay informed. There are things happening that could affect you. So going and being a total hermit may not be in your best interest. But you don't have to stay constantly informed. And I think that's one of the problems with social media, is it's just very easy to be up to the second on whatever's happening. And whenever you're at that level, a lot of the information you're receiving is just wrong. It takes time for information to be vetted, and it's also just not good to be constantly reminded that something's happening that you don't like. You can be doing your own thing, and then you get a notification from whatever social media, and it comes up, and someone's posted, wow, things are much worse than we thought they would. That is not good. It's not healthy. So my parents, who are also not terribly thrilled with the way things are going, they have a strategy, is that they watch the news at night. They happen to watch NPR News, which has a one-hour-long news program every night. It's very well vetted. It's a high factuality source, as Ground.News would say. And that's it. They're not checking Google News all day long. They're not checking their social media constantly. They have their notifications turned off. So that is not a bad strategy. You do want to stay informed, but you don't have to be informed every second. Once a day should probably be enough. Number two, focus on what you can control. If something's outside your control and you don't like it, that creates this sense of the world out of control and I can't fix things. Ah, what am I going to do? Well, one thing you can do is focus on what you can control. So what can you control? You can control what you do. You can control where you spend money. You can control how you structure your day. I mean, you actually have a whole lot of control over what you do in your life. Focus on that. Structure your life the way you want it to be as much as possible. And focus on that control. When you get up in the morning, don't look at the news first thing. Look at your day. Control how you're going to spend the day and focus on that. And that might be a healthier approach. Number three, build a support network. Now, this kind of ties in with the social media thing again, because especially for van life, a lot of us use social media basically as our social lives. Sure, we might get together from time to time, but our social life is somewhat asynchronous, which is a great thing. We don't want to give that up, but maybe we want to focus that a little bit more. So find your peeps, find your community, and spend time with them virtually or in person if you possibly can. Some of the apps that make this really easy are like Discord and Slack and things like that, where you're dealing with a much smaller group of people and a hand-selected group of people rather than, you know, Facebook or any of the others. But make sure you're with people who have your back. That's the key. You want people who are on your side and who can support you. They're going to help you cope with a lot of this. Number four, this is a thing that's for some people and not for everyone. It's up to you, but I absolutely need to mention it because it's a huge thing for a lot of people. And that is mindfulness, stress management, whatever form that takes for you. For some folks, it's just doing exercise. For others, it's doing some sort of meditation, Zen, transcendental, Vipassana, whatever kind of mindfulness you want to do, anything like that, whatever works for you. Make that a commitment that you're going to do that all the time. For some, it's yoga. For some, it's simply breathing. And for some, it's simply sitting on a log and watching a tree. And, you know, that actually has a name now, this forest bathing concept. I mean, whatever works for you, that's great. But do it. Make it not that I feel like doing this now. Consider making it a part of your routine that every day I'm going to spend X amount of minutes doing X activity. And that has a good chance of giving you more perspective. Number five, this one's less fun, but very important. Develop a financial safety net. One of the uncertainties we have is about money. I mean, we always have an uncertainty about money. Van life, of course, you have an uncertainty about money. Your van could break down at any time. It's difficult to find jobs. And now one of the issues that we're facing is that remote jobs are being rolled back faster than a price at Walmart, which doesn't actually happen all that often. But still, this is a problem, though, that is somewhat under your control. So take control of your finances. Think to the future. Start building an emergency fund. Reduce unnecessary expenses if you can. And find ways to diversify your income. Sadly, a lot of folks found out that making a ton of money on TikTok is temporary, or it is not guaranteed. TikTok could go away any moment. Any of these could go away at any moment. YouTube could go away at any moment. Imagine a world where YouTube says, we're not going to pay for content anymore. Okay, they could do that, and I don't know that they'd be any less successful if they did that. They might be. A lot of the big producers of stuff on Facebook now, they don't make their money from Facebook, they make their money from Patreon or whatever. So sadly, you have to think a lot about money. I hate thinking about money. I really do. I'm terrible at it. It's not my bailiwick, but I absolutely understand how important it is that if money is causing you stress, spend time planning your money, and that can help reduce stress. Number six, maintain a healthy lifestyle. You know, you have to sleep. You should probably exercise, watch what you eat, all these standard things. Don't let that get out of control just because you're concerned about something. And yeah, all right, don't do what I do. I am a stress eater. If things are concerning me, whatever they are, my first response is to go to the refrigerator. And I live in an open concept condo, so I'm like always in the kitchen. Like, I literally live in the kitchen. And that's not good. Don't do that if you can help it. Find other ways to cope. Try to maintain your own health, because heck, why add to uncertainty if your health is uncertain? I can tell you, at age 58, I am spending a whole lot of time at doctors with all kinds of new health concerns. It is not fun. I'm going to be laid up for 12 weeks because I ignored a problem too long. Anyway, enough about that. Don't forget to maintain your health. Number 7, embrace adaptability. If you are interested in van life, I know that inherently in you, something about you is adaptable and flexible. You are able to change to meet conditions. So you have that going for you already. Just the fact that you're listening to this podcast, I know you have that going for you. But embrace it. Be willing to change. Think about what things you can change that will help you get through the next few years. Because you can change. You've done it many times. Think about doing it now. Number 8, cultivate a positive mindset. This is a very tricky thing because let's take a concrete example. Let's say your house just burned down, whether it was from the recent wildfires or it was just a random event, whatever. Your house has burned down, your van has burned down, all your stuff is gone. Doesn't it seem dishonest in a way to be positive in that moment? And it's even worse if it wasn't your house, but it was your neighbor's. You know, let's say your neighbor's house burned down, but you were having a big party the next day because that was on the plan anyway. You know, let's say you're having a big Super Bowl party and their house burns down a week before Super Bowl party. Do you invite them to the party? Are they going to feel like celebrating? It's tricky things here. So within reason, don't forget that there are positive things in the world, too. There are definitely positive things in the world right now. We have a lot going for us, and it's really easy to lose sight of that. Though van life itself is facing some difficulties and some challenges, etc., in many ways, this is the best time for van life ever. There's a lot going for it. You're asking for examples? Listen to this podcast for all these years and how, and all the advances that have been made just since I started this podcast. There is positivity in there. You might have to look for it. Number 9, if things are getting serious, don't be afraid to seek professional help. Folks, I have been to psychotherapists. I have been on antidepressant medication. Not now, as it happens, but I would go on it again if I needed it. There is help out there. There is. Don't be afraid to reach out for it. And you can say, oh, well, the medical system, that's fine. I agree. But you should still give it a shot. You should treat mental health the same as physical health. It's that important, maybe even more important. So there is professional help out there. This stuff does work. It really does. Talk therapy works. I've seen it happen. It's worked for me. And medications work too. I see that every day through the work of my wife, basically. That absolutely works. So don't be afraid to reach out for it. And number 10, and this is kind of a big one. One thing that helps us get through these times is to help others. Now, back in, when was it, 2017, I was sitting watching TV, watching these hurricanes tear apart everything, and I was feeling pretty useless as a human being. I saw all this terrible stuff happening in the world, and I just was like, oh, what? And then I did something. I basically got off my butt and joined an organization that responded to disasters, and that actually consumed a major portion of my life for the next 4 years. And I can tell you that while I was involved in that organization, I felt better. I felt like I was doing something. It made a huge difference. So do not overlook volunteering as a way to cope with these uncertain times. It actually is the thing that wraps all these things up together. You're going to have some community there. You're going to be with like-minded people. You're going to be doing something good that's under your control. don't overlook that possibility. I happen to volunteer with Team Rubicon. I think they would be a great place to look. There are food banks everywhere. There's lots of places where you can volunteer for help, and it absolutely will make you feel better. Or, as an alternative, become your own organization to help people. My idea going forward during these times is that whatever times we're in, the answer to surviving them lies in two things. Number one, kindness. Practicing kindness. That's it. Just practice kindness. And number two, being creative. This is my going forward. Call it a New Year's resolution, call it whatever you want, but that's what I'm focusing on. Being kind and being creative. Those are my two coping mechanisms. And the worst thing that can happen is that I'm more kind and I'm more creative. It doesn't matter if that creativity turns into anything. The act of creation is its own reward. And kindness, well, heck, it's just kindness. I don't see how that can fail. Folks, thank you to everyone who has bought me gallons of diesel at buymeacoffee.com/built-to-go. You guys here are keeping this podcast free of ads, and I very, very much appreciate it. Also, just a little bit of news. This Facebook thing, I left Facebook. I'm coming back to Facebook. My account will be reactivated in a couple of days now, by January 25th or something. I forget. It's going to reactivate by itself. It's set to auto-reactivate, which is a feature that Facebook gives you, which is odd. So, if you really want to hear my whole going back and forth about leaving or staying on Facebook, it is in my new blog, which is called Peregrinus, and I've actually turned the blog into a podcast as well. There's only one episode up right now, and actually the Facebook one isn't there, but it doesn't matter. If you go to peregrinus.ghost.io, you can read my blog. Yes, I'll have a link in the show notes because, you know, of course I'm going to pick a name that nobody knows what it is or knows how to spell, so you can, you know, anyway. I never said I was smart, but there's a link in the show notes if you want to check it out. And if you want to hear my dulcet tones a little bit more, because heck, you're really having a hard time falling asleep, well, then there's going to be a podcast that you can subscribe to as well, which I think the official name of is Peregrinus Jeff Wags Podcast or something like that. By the way, that podcast is basically me just writing about things. It does involve politics and religion because I am a political and a religious being. So this podcast is much more personal. But enough about that. Let's get back to van life. And we're going to skip the news this week. We've had enough news. Tech Talk. How to unfreeze things. All right, look. The weather's a little crazy. I mean, it's been crazy for a while now. There was just a news report that Florida has more snow than Iowa and Nebraska combined or something. Anyway, crazy times, but some of you are probably finding your vehicles frozen. And when I mean frozen, I mean, like, you can't open the doors, there's snow on the windshield, and let's take a little bit of time and talk about all these things. When it's really cold and your vehicle's frozen, those two things tend to happen at the same time, you actually have to be very careful because your vehicle is now brittle. Cold means brittle. And it's fascinating how some of the plastic objects you have that are part of your van or just things you bought in your van work fine all summer long and then just completely shatter when it's cold. So anything plastic, you have to be super careful of. Now, the plastics that your vehicle is built out of are supposed to be designed to withstand freezing temperatures, but still, you have to be a bit more careful with them, especially if it's an older vehicle. So let's start with your door. Let's say that it was so cold that you spent the night in a hotel, you come out to your van, and the door won't open because it's frozen. Well, there's a few things that can cause that. If it's the lock that's frozen, there's a couple things you can do. You can actually go buy lock de-icer, which is mostly alcohol, and you squeeze it in the lock, and with a little wiggling, that should get it loose. And an old trick, and this is a little bit more dangerous these days with electronic keys, is you can put the metal key in the lock, and in your key fob, if you haven't found it yet, there's probably a hidden metal key. You can put that in the lock after you heat it up with a lighter or something and jiggle it, and that should loosen it. But you have to be careful with this, and I don't recommend doing that because some lock parts are actually made of plastic, so you have to be careful you don't heat the key up so much that you're melting the plastic. Remember, ice melts at 33 degrees Fahrenheit, or 1 degree Celsius, or even less than that, so you don't have to heat the key up crazy hot. So, you know, just be careful of that. But that's one way to get the lock loose. But if it's the handle that's frozen, like the handle won't move, that's a different problem. I do not recommend using heat. I recommend tapping it lightly, and not hard. Don't hit anything hard. Everything is gentle until it frees itself. Now, it's tricky. You don't know if it's the handle that's frozen or the cable or the latch. And there's a whole bunch of things that could be frozen there. But the first step would be to bang gently around the handle. If the handle opens, but the door doesn't open, then it's probably your gasket that's frozen. There's a rubber gasket on the door, depending on the vehicle. Most vehicles, the rubber gasket is on the door. Sometimes it's on the vehicle. If that's the case, a trick is to use a spatula or a credit card and gently, I'm going to keep saying that, gently go around and try to loosen that gasket. Ultimately, the thing you need to do is get the vehicle above freezing. So once you get inside, start the engine and warm that sucker up. It doesn't matter if you turn on the heat and defrost immediately or if you wait. If you're inside the vehicle and you don't want cold air blowing on you, well, then go ahead and wait. But once the vehicle warms up and there's hot air blowing out, that's when you're really going to start to be able to get things to defrost. Now, another area that matters is the windshield. Your windshield wipers are fragile, not just the rubber parts, but the motors too. If your windshield is covered with snow and you think, I'll just turn on the wipers and have the snow move, you could be in trouble. Most modern vehicles, if you do that, either a circuit breaker is going to trip or a fuse will blow, and then you have no wipers. On some vehicles, there's a kind of a clutch screw that will loosen, and the motor will turn, but the wipers won't. And then you got to reset that whole system. And on some, a relay or even the wiper motor itself will simply burn out. So don't do that. Make sure your wipers are completely clear before you turn them on. Now, if you just have ice on the windshield and you turn on your wipers, as long as your wipers are free, that isn't going to hurt the motors, but you're going to destroy the rubber almost instantly. The rubber is not meant to go over ice. So your best course of action is to completely clear your windshield before you turn on your wipers. And having the defroster run for a bit and get the windshield warm can help with that a lot. Also, one last thing, and boy, we could go on. This could have been a whole episode talking about this topic. Never, ever, ever pour hot water on any glass on your vehicle, because glass is a weird substance, but it does react to temperature, and it could crack. You can shatter your windshield by pouring boiling water on it on a really cold day. So don't do that. Don't do that. I'm going to stop there, but there's a lot more to talk about. The key message is be gentle. Be gentle. Don't be in a rush, and warm your vehicle up as soon as you can. Product review. Well, we're living in a time where people are saying boycott this, boycott that, and I just want to let you know that I do pay attention to those things. There are companies I won't do business with, and there are companies I do that I have serious problems with. Amazon is one of those companies. I have problems with the way Amazon treats its employees and the way it affects the marketplace and all that. But I use it. I use it all the time. And honestly, we all do, even if we're boycotting Amazon. You can't use the internet without Amazon, because Amazon owns the servers that generate the images for nearly everything. Like, if you use Facebook, well, their images come from Amazon. So if you even have a Facebook account, you're using Amazon. So I do pay attention to these things, but my personal decision is that I will keep using Amazon. Doesn't mean I like it, but I'm going to. That's why this product I'm about to talk about is complicated. Yes, it's from Amazon, but it's a new service from Amazon. You have probably heard of Temu, and Temu's a nightmare. I'm not going to get into that right now. Or you've heard of Alibaba or AliExpress. These are basically companies that are a conduit to cheap Chinese goods, so that they can come directly from China, and they're usually crazy cheap. Well, Amazon is feeling like they're missing out on this, so they've created their own service called Haul, H-A-U-L, Haul. And weirdly, Haul is only available on phones. You can't do this from a computer. I don't understand companies that make that decision, but they've done this. And what Haul is it's basically a duplicate of Temu. It's all these really incredibly cheap things that some of them are pretty weird. And they will send them to you. And actually what they offer the Temu doesn't so much is it's pretty fast shipping. It's not as fast as if it came directly from Amazon, but it's like a week rather than a month. So I tried it out. I went on Haul and I bought $25 worth of things because if you spend $25, you get free shipping. And I got a whole bunch of weird little things. And as with any of these cheap services, I got some good stuff for a good price. And I got some stuff that's just kind of junk. And yes, the price seemed to matter. The stuff that was 99 cents is junk, and the stuff that was $4.99 seemed to be pretty good. So I'll mention a few of those things. One of the things I got is a phone stand. This is not the most complicated thing in the world. I actually got three phone stands. I got two really cheap plastic ones that were like $1.99, and I got a nicer metal one that was, I think, $3.99. Now, the plastic ones are crap. They're so lightweight. I mean, the phone weighs like 10 times more than the stand, and just trying to put the phone on the stand, you knock it over. Yeah, you could permanently attach these plastic things and then use them as a stand somewhere, but I am probably never going to use them. So, yay me, I've just created a whole bunch of plastic waste for nothing. The metal stand is actually useful. It's not as nice as the ones I've spent $10 on, but it is actually useful, and I do use it every day now. So for $3.99, I have a nice metal stand. That was a win. I also got, very exciting stuff, silicone spatula and spoon set. They have many, many, many on there. These would be great for van life, and they were like $3.99, but wow, I am super impressed with the quality of these things. They're heavy, they feel really nice, and they seem pretty durable, and they have, I don't know, they're funny looking in a way. They have this weird loop thing that lets you hang them up. I am not trying to tell you to buy these products. I'm basically saying that I have used Haul, and I think if you like Temu, you will like Haul. And maybe it's better to do business with Amazon than Temu. I don't know. You got to make up your own decisions there. But you do have all the backing of Amazon with this, and that might be worth something. So here's the deal. They have offered me, actually after I bought all this stuff, they offered me that I will get 7% commission on everything you guys buy from Haul. So, heck, if you'd like to support the podcast obliquely, go ahead and give Haul a try at the link in the show notes, and I will get 7% of whatever you do. It won't cost you any more. And, we can go make more plastic stuff, I guess. I don't know. Again, the world is weird. Now, how do you get to Haul? Well, to use my link, you have to go to the show notes and click on the link, and then it will bring up a QR code that you have to scan with your phone. I don't know why they make it so blasted complicated, but anyway, look at the links in the show notes. If you can make it work, great. If not, whatever. I will lose the 7%. So this is just another resource. They do have a lot of weird stuff on there, and you have to search for it. Like if you're looking for clips, like those little clips that always break when you're taking panels off your vans, they have tons of those. Lots of weird screws and stuff. But remember, this is probably not the highest quality stuff you're going to see in the world. So if you have anything mission critical, don't rely on this stuff. But if you just need something cosmetic or, hey, that's an interesting idea, or just fun, go ahead and give it a try. So it's Amazon Haul. You got to use your mobile app for it, but the links for that are in the show notes. Tales from the Road. So this is not my favorite story, and I don't think I've told it fully, so I'm going to tell it today, and then I'll tell you some good news at the end. But the story is, I'm in Vermont, and I have just slept my first nights in Pagurus, my NV200 that I built out, but before I built it out. When I first got the NV200, I did a no-build in it. I basically took all the camping equipment I had and put it in there. I had a fold-out cot bed thing and a bunch of plastic racks and all this stuff. And it was terrible. I mean, my first night in there was just miserable. I woke up in the middle of the night freezing cold, icicles hanging from the metal roof, and then I decided I was going to turn on some heat, but my butane was frozen. Oh, anyway, I learned an awful lot, and I recommend you have that experience too. But I didn't get a lot of sleep, and I've always had a problem staying awake while driving. Well, it was time to go home, and from Vermont to Chicago, there's two basic ways you can go. You can stay on the interstates, or you can cut through the Adirondacks, which are sometimes pretty, but very windy roads, and you really have to pay attention. So I went through the Adirondacks, and I started to fall asleep. Now, you're not allowed to fall asleep while driving the Adirondacks. You're not allowed to fall asleep anywhere. But the Adirondacks are particularly dangerous. So as soon as this started to happen, I said, that's it. Next chance I get, I'm going to pull over and take a nap because, hey, I've got a bed in the back. One of the problems with driving the Adirondacks is there aren't a lot of places to pull over. Depending on what section you're in, you could be on 45 or 50 miles of windy roads with nothing. And so I found myself in that situation. I was absolutely struggling to stay awake, and yet I couldn't find any place to pull over. So I just kept thinking, right around the next corner, there's going to be a place, there's going to be a place, and there just never was. And then finally, when I was going around a corner, fell asleep just enough to drift over the center line. Not entirely. I didn't like go completely in the lane. I just got a little too close to the center line, and my mirror crossed it. And then on the other side, traffic coming towards me, a vehicle on that side did the same thing. I don't know that he was falling asleep, but he also got really close to the center line. And I was doing 50. He was probably doing 50. And we hit each other. So 50 plus 50 is 100 miles an hour. We hit each other at 100 miles an hour. Now, the good news is we only hit mirrors. That's the only part of our vehicles that came in contact. But I was awake then when I heard bang and glass showered the side of the van. My mirror slammed into my side window, thankfully didn't break it. And I assume the same thing happened to the other vehicle. Wow. If that didn't prove to me the point right there, do not drive while you're sleepy, nothing would. I mean, 2 inches more and we would have had a head-on collision. Really, really a sobering event. So I'm like, oh, okay, I'm all done now. And so right around the corner, yeah, there was a gas station to pull over. If I had made it around the corner, I could have actually found that place to pull over that I was looking for. But I did pull over, and I just waited because I'm like, okay, that other guy is going to come by, and we're going to have to exchange insurance notes and all this and stuff. And I waited, and I waited, and I waited, and he never came. And then I realized that he's probably doing the same thing I'm doing. He's assuming I'm going to go and meet with him. And so I got back on the road and looked, and though he kept going, because I don't know. I never made contact with the guy. He might have thought he was in the wrong. I think I was in the wrong. I don't actually know. Maybe we were both in the wrong, but it doesn't matter. This happened, and I had no way to contact him. I don't even remember what kind of vehicle it was. But I still had my van with a smashed left-hand mirror. You can't drive without a left-hand mirror. If you have somehow learned how to drive a van without a left-hand mirror. Now remember, a van, a cargo van, there's no windows in the back. I don't know how you can drive a van without a left-hand mirror, but I had to. I was at this gas station, and if I remember correctly, it wasn't even open. It was just kind of an old gas station that wasn't open. I think it was a Sunday. So I had to get back on the road. So I rolled down my window, and instead of using my mirror, I actually craned my head out the window, which was my only option. And I kept going until I got to a town about 10 miles away, and I pulled into a dollar store. It was the first store I could find. And I made up my mind that I'm going to solve this in the dollar store. I don't know how. Obviously, they're not going to have a replacement for a 2014 NV200 side mirror with heat. I ended up getting that on eBay. But to get home, I bought a mirror, a hand mirror, and some duct tape. And I taped the mirror that I got at the dollar store to what was left of the mirror on the side of my van. And that's how I drove home. From that point, I changed my route so I would stay on interstates. Interstates are much more predictable. And I got in a lane and stayed there. I didn't pass. I drove much more conservatively because I knew I couldn't see as well because of my mirror. And then I made it home. I got home with no problem, got on eBay, ordered the replacement mirror, replaced it, and that was that. But that's not the end of the story. First off, there's a terrible event. Please learn from what I did there and don't do that. I mean, don't get in that situation. Again, inches from death, literally. But I now have a CPAP. I don't get sleepy when I drive now. I fixed that problem. if you think you might have sleep apnea, if you have a spouse or partner or someone who says that, dude, you snore a whole lot, it is worth it to go through the effort of going through the CPAP thing. I can't deny that my sleep hygiene, if you want to call it that, is a gazillion times better since I've gotten used to using the CPAP. It really made a huge difference. And now I'm no longer tired when I'm driving. And I hope to never, ever have another experience like that. And I think I won't. Just stuff to think about. A place to visit. I keep talking about my trip to Antarctica, a place that you can't go with a van unless it's a very special van. And it was a big trip for me. It was a hugely impactful trip. I think about it all the time. And I was looking over some travel sites and I was like, wow, look at that picture of Antarctica. And then I found out it wasn't Antarctica. It was Canada. But it wasn't like Canada. I mean, well, it was Canada, obviously. Canada's gigantic. But it wasn't like the far reaches of the Arctic part of Canada that you can't really get to. It was a park. It's a park that looks like Antarctica. At least parts of it do. But anyway, I would like you to consider visiting Park Omega, as it's called, or Omega Park, depending. You know, they do the French and English thing there, and I don't actually know if I'm looking at the French or English when I see Park Omega, but doesn't matter. You should go there because they have winter camping. This is a park that is open and ready for winter camping. And it's actually like a safari ride. You go up there and you do this route and you see all the animals. Well, you don't know what you're going to see, but you could see elk, bison, wolves, bear, and foxes. You can feed deer with a carrot. They have some deer there that you can feed. It's open in the winter. I think that is the very cool thing. They have a sugar festival, if you're not familiar with that. For them, it's February 1st and 2nd, but in the spring or just before the spring, places that produce maple syrup have a sugaring season because that's when maple trees start to pump all the sugar into their sap, and that's when the sap gets boiled into maple syrup, and that is often a big festival time. Certainly happens in Vermont, absolutely happens in Canada. You can winter camp there. They have sleigh dogs. You can sleep in nature in tents, or they have little pods, or you can use your van, whatever. It looks very, very cool. They have all kinds of stuff there. Now, this is in Quebec. It's in Montebello, Quebec, so the eastern part of Canada. And it's kind of in between Ottawa and Montreal. You know, it's in the boonies, but it's not that much in the boonies. And you might think, but you said it looked like Antarctica. Antarctica doesn't have bison. What are you talking about? And you're right, but in a way, it's similar because it's a celebration of winter. You don't have to hide inside during the winter. There's lots to see out there, and Park Omega looks like a great one. Now, I have not been there. I haven't done this yet. I would love to, but I can't do anything because I'm going to be laid up for 12 weeks because of my stupid ankle. But you can, and if you happen to do it, I would love to hear about it. So that is Park Omega. Park is spelled with a C. I will have a link in the show notes, but it looks like a winter wonderland to me. Resource recommendation. Hey, have you heard of this YouTube thing? Yeah, no, all right. YouTube is gigantic. There's so much stuff on YouTube. And, you know, a lot of times I'll say, hey, this guy's build looks interesting, or hey, this woman is doing really interesting travel. You should go check her out. Whatever. But there's a whole other side of YouTube that I find kind of fun, and that is just the ambient stuff. People are creating ambient YouTube channels that just create whatever you want, basically. I mean, they seem to have thought of anything. Now, obviously, we've got the old fireplace ambience. I mean, those have existed since VHS. You could actually buy VHS tapes of just a fire. And I rented that once. I actually have gone to Blockbuster and rented a tape of 2 hours of a fire burning. But on YouTube, you can have everything you want. And they're just nice. If you happen to have a TV and you want to just have a calm experience, find something nice. There are a bunch of van life channels where they don't talk. They just kind of exist in nature and you can watch them cook, and it's calm. It's nice. It's non-challenging. Or there are bird feeders. There are sailing videos like this that are wonderful. There are fantasy videos where they've created like a space station and it's just like a big screen of the space station, or you're inside the space station, but nothing's happening. It's just the ambience of being in that spot. So you might see you know, comet go by, or maybe a little robot comes out and changes a drink or something. But that's it. There's no story. There's no plot. It's just calm, and it's nice. Now, if that seems silly in your van because you don't have a giant TV or whatever, I get that. But there are audio versions of this, too. Or you can actually put on the YouTube one and just turn off the picture, just listen to the sound, and it kind of gives the same effect. I like to do this in the winter when I'm stuck in the condo, as I am right now. I will put on the sounds of birds. That's it. It seems silly, but honestly, it instantly feels better. Just the room I'm in feels better. I don't necessarily understand the psychology of it, but I also don't deny that it exists. Putting on the sound of birds, especially birds I'm familiar with, makes me feel better. So I have a link to one of these videos on YouTube in the show notes. There are a gazillion of them, but if you click on this one link, it will take you to a nice scene of a fire by a brook, and that's it. And if you click on that, that'll tell the algorithm that you're interested in this stuff, and you'll see other stuff. But if that sounds like something that would be nice, we could use a few more nice things, so why not give it a look? Well, folks, thank you very much for listening to episode 244. Music, as always, is by Simon Wagg. If you need to get hold of me for any reason, I am jeff@builttogo.com. And if you're looking for my new podcast blog thing that I'm trying, it is peregrinus.ghost.io. Link in the show notes. Until next time, remember the words of Andrea Locken, who said, and this is a long quote, "I know a little something about fear, honey. I know what a relief it feels like to give into it at first. It's not hard to persuade yourself that you're doing the right thing, that you're making the smart, safe decision. But fear is insidious. It takes anything you're willing to give it, the parts of your life you don't mind cutting out, but when you're not looking, it takes anything else it damn well pleases too."